Son. This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. All those who do evil hate the light and will not come to the light because they do not want their evil deeds to be shown up. But those who do those who do what is true come to the light in order that the light may show that what they did was in obedience to God.
There is nowhere that light and dark are so enmeshed as in the world of close relationships. Relationships and close ones, like your relationship with your mother. And the person who thinks that their mother was perfect is either A, Hannah and Alice, my daughters, obviously, or they are remembering somebody long dead. People who love us try their best, and sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they get it wrong. And as we reflect on them, when we get mature, we will know that, all right, they messed it up, but they tried. There's a story called The Surprise. I was 17 and my boyfriend was 23. With 6 years seniority on me, I was constantly trying to play catch up on the maturity stakes. I imagined that one false step, one uncool thing might show me up for what I really was, a gawky teenage schoolgirl. The day came when he had to be introduced to my family. Unbeknown to me, they had decided that the best way to welcome him would be for all three of them, my parents and elder sister, to hide behind the sofa and jump out shouting, "Surprise!" when we entered the room. Even now, I wonder how much alcohol they must have consumed to have considered this to be a good idea. The children of Israel grumble and complain about Moses. And the text makes it clear that their grumbling is understood to be grumbling about God, and it is not acceptable. They're angry because they don't like the daily provision of food and water. They've only gotten worthless food. And then we get the strange story about these serpents arriving, that God somehow sends snakes that will bite people and kill a few of them. And that whips them all back into line. And they come creeping back to Moses to admit that they've done what is wrong. Moses prays, snakes are gone, a bronze snake is made, held up, and if you look at the snake, then you are healed. And I haven't worked out what that means to those that are dead, of course, and the whole story strikes me as decidedly odd anyway. But there are some interesting things from it. The first one being that in the passage that we heard from John, that story is used. And in that context, the thing about this being raised up is talking about the crucifixion. All the time in that passage, a reference to being raised up in the sense of put on a cross, raised up. As the lifting of the serpent provided a focus for the rebellious Israelites, so the lifting up of Jesus provides a sign of salvation and the gift of eternal life. And Jesus, in that context, as the antidote to what was wrong. The second interesting thing is that the word that's used for the serpent is the same word that's used in that bit in the prophet Isaiah, where I went and the room was full of the glory of God, and the seraphim filled the air saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Do you know the passage I'm talking about? One or two of you know the passage I'm talking about. Loads of you know this passage. It's the passage in Isaiah 6. It's the passage that's read really often at ordinations and inductions. It's about the, you know, Isaiah, the servant comes with coals and puts on his lips and said, Isaiah says, I'm an unclean person and all that stuff. Same word. These creatures are flying around the air saying, holy, holy, holy is God. Same word for those serpents scuttling around, biting and killing the Israelites. Which makes you think that maybe actually we're not talking about serpents and snakes and, you know, adders in the heather and all that stuff. We're not talking about that. We are talking about something supernatural, something heavenly. Something beyond the physical. And in this case, these creatures are bringing bad news in the way that in the Isaiah passage they bring good. And maybe it's a warning that that which is good news and that which is bad news, that which is light and that which is darkness can actually be can get at times really very close to one another. The third thing about this passage is that this bronze serpent is made, and the passage doesn't go on to say, and then they kept it in, da-da-da-da-da. But later in the Old Testament, we get a bit, when Hezekiah becomes king of the Israelites, he decides that they've wandered away from the truth, and they need to be got back into line. Hezekiah is seen as a good king who helps the people to get back into their relationship with God. Get rid of some of this rubbish. You know, sort yourselves out. Get back in your relationship with God. And part of the get rid of this rubbish is this bronze serpent, which they've kept for all this time. So it's a relic of Moses. And they, at that time, decide they're going to hoyerut, get rid of it, chuck it away. Why? Because it's been used for bad purposes. I had a mate once who preached with a view in Philip Doddridge Memorial Church. And in that church, he was a, you know, hymn writer. And in that church, there were things like his umbrella was kept in the vestry. And they had all sorts of Philip Doddridge relics around the place. And he thought, I'm not going there. And he can't blame him. Because there comes a point when that thing that you thought was really helpful and really good and reminded you of the truth actually takes you to somewhere else. So this serpent, this bronze serpent that once had been a sign of salvation and life for them, they start worshipping it instead of worshipping God. And Hezekiah says, get rid of it. Question, what are the things for you, for me, for our church, that we, once upon a time, they were wholesome and they were good, and now actually they've got in the way and we need to get rid of them? What habits have you acquired that actually you need to examine and maybe sort out? Those who see us, sometimes see us as being an organization about self-protection, about delusion, about being an exclusive club, and sometimes maybe we need to be challenged about our relationship with the community where we are set. And some of those things in our religion have been used for all sorts of brutality. Some people would say religion itself is used for brutality. They wouldn't use the same criteria about other things, but hey, that's another debate. But in our Christian life, to make sure that the searing light of Jesus shines on the whole of our life, as a church, we know that light is powerful. It's the very thing that gives us life. And we know that light is, forgive me for this pun, not to be taken lightly. We know that light can burn us. It's not to be messed with. However, that doesn't mean that we should avoid it. It is light that shows us our obedience to God and where we are in relationship with God. Whoever does what is true comes to the light in order that the light may show him her that she did what she did in obedience to God. Story. We used to meet up every now and then for lunch. I was her sort of spiritual moral compass. Her lifestyle had completely rejected the faith of her birth. She found coming to church uncomfortable because of that. Lunch, she could manage. She was in control. She decided where we would meet. It was familiar and it was her territory. And in the conversation, she made it very clear that she was doing things that she knew were wrong, but she had persuaded herself that they were necessary and she wasn't going to stop them. Light and darkness. And sometimes the light is too bright. And sometimes the searching of the light of Jesus is just too bright. And I'm sure that for all of us, in moments of searching of our personal morality, we know how she felt. Light is powerful. It can burn and it can destroy. And it shows things up. And you can do things in the dark and you think that you've got away with them. But then in the cold light of day, when the police read out your statement with all the swear words in it, it sounds dreadful. And you thought that the front of your jumper was clean. And then in the light, you see the blemishes when you missed your mouth and you know that you are dirty. In this passage from John, the light is Jesus himself. And he uses life and eternal life interchangeably. And those who want to know and to live by the truth delight in the presence of Jesus and welcome his teaching. And that, my friend, is not going to be comfortable. But instead of avoiding him, they seek him out. They seek him out because in the middle of their faithful discipleship, however difficult it is, they need the comfort to know that they are living in his light. And the light of Jesus, which shines on us, and we pray shines through us, shows us how far we still have to travel. Every one of us, how far we still have to travel. But it is also the light that will guide us home. So let us pray. Jesus, Lord of the church, help us. Our windows are shaded, keeping out the light. Our buildings easily proclaim events long ago, and passers-by see nothing but an ancient tomb. But in spite of our folly and our neglect, you do not leave your ailing church. Father God, give new life in us. Mother God, may your light shine through us. Restore obedience to us. We know that your light will not be comfortable. But it will show us the way. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen. We join to sing The Servant King, From Heaven You Came. Our emergency hymn books, which you will find underneath the seat in front of you or somewhere round about you, and we will sing number 522, The Servant King. If you haven't got a hymn book, put your hand in the air and somebody will give you one. Start at the beginning, start, take it from the top. That's cool, let's do it. Thank you. have a seat. We've got one request for prayer. Please pray for Margaret Reynolds and Auntie Joan. May they both find peace and happiness. So let us pray. It's a tour rep at the end of a long day of irate holidaymakers complaining, the rooms are too cold, the rooms are too hot, dinner's 10 minutes late, trying to keep her temper. Oh Lord, I wish you'd send in the snakes, but I suppose you better not. It's the cashier at the till in W.H. Smith's, dead on his feet, listening to the same old complaints and trying to be bright and helpful. Oh Lord, I wish you'd send in the snakes, but I suppose you better not. It's the operator in the call centre, on the phone all day to people who are abusive and obtuse, trying to keep the smile in the voice. Oh Lord, I wish you'd send in the snakes, but I suppose you better not. In a different world in the desert, the people are hungry. And all over the world, people are complaining. And in families, people are arguing and grumbling backwards and forwards. And mothers and fathers are straining to keep together. And some children are beaten, abused and neglected. And some adults are beaten. And in the privacy of their homes, the victims of violence. And some feel that they have given so much and nobody says thank you. God bless all those whose work makes them have to field the customer's trivial and exhausting complaints. And bless us in our life in the church, that we may learn to be true to what we believe, but to present it in ways that are kindly as well as strong. And for ourselves we pray. and for those who've asked us to pray for them. And for all those all over the country who wait by bedsides in intensive care. And for those who on this day have realized that there actually are things more important than football, even than football. Lord, we thank you that we know that you hear our prayers, and we bring them all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. God of nurturing and caring, God of truth and light and justice, we bring this money as a sign that we bring our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. We think the projection's working. Maybe just took against From Heaven You Came, the Servant King, you know, just, we all have that. The last hymn is I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, and it has been chosen by the Faith Development Group. They like it, so we will sing it. Remaining as we are, a prayer. In the next week, O God, may we live in the light of your love. And all God's people said, Amen.